Why don't you hear the invitation of the Holy Ghost right now? He's here and He can do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. He's here to meet your need right now. The I Am has it in control. The I Am has it in control. Your praises to Him. Lift your praises to Him. Whatever you need Him to be, why don't you praise Him for that? Why don't you praise Him as the Redeemer, as the Savior, as the Provider? He's everything that we need. Everything that we need. Was more than just a statement. It was more than just a name. It was a promise. I am. Everything that you need, I am. I'll always be whatever you need. You're never going to get into a circumstance that God's going to just throw up His hands and be like, I don't have any of that. No, because He's everything that we need. He always has what we need. He will always give to us exactly what we need. Why don't we praise Him another time right now together? God, let Your work be done right now. I pray that You would break every barrier, every intimidation, every hold that may be on our faith and on our praise and worship. Let it be broken by the power of the name of Jesus as we worship You, because You're everything that we need. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I'm thankful to serve a God that has everything that I need. There are some religions that they call upon a different God for every different thing that they have need of. If they need healing, they call upon a certain God. If they have need of provision, they call upon another God. If they need protection, they call on another God. I'm thankful I only have one name to remember, and that's the name of Jesus, because He is the I Am. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen. I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that I feel. Thankful to be home in my home church worshiping the Lord. Thankful to be here tonight, and thank You for allowing me the opportunity to preach and share the word with you tonight. I'm going to take you to Joshua chapter 1 and read just 3 verses there. Thank You, Jesus. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. And I'll just say that Scotland was great, but America's home. It feels good to be home. Joshua chapter 1 verses 6, 7, and 8 say this: Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide. This is God talking to Joshua after the death of Moses. For unto this people Israel shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Somebody say all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you do all that is written therein, you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Somebody say all. Do all that is written in the book of the law. How many of you are thankful for this book that we have? It's more than just a book, and we understand that. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon the impartation of this word tonight? God, we thank you for your spirit that is working here. Thank you for your presence that has blessed us and that is leading us and directing us. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as your word goes forth, I know that it will not return void. I know that it will accomplish that which you have sent it to accomplish. And let me be your servant in doing that. And I pray your blessing and your touch upon this congregation as we hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. By way of a title tonight, it's going to be titled By the Book. Not B-U-Y, but B-Y. By the book. Does anybody know by the book type of people? They just do everything by the book. They don't deviate from how things should be done or how things have been instructed to be done. They're just by the book people. I appreciate those people, and I wish I were one of them. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I deviate and I let a little creativity or spontaneity slip into some things. But there's something to be said for people who are just by the book people. They don't differ from the expected. They do what is expected of them. They're by the book. When they buy that piece of furniture from IKEA, they take that instruction manual and it may as well be plated in gold. These type of people, because they're going to follow that instruction manual just absolutely to the letter. They are by the book people. If the instruction has, you know, steps E through F, they're not going to jump ahead to step H before they do steps E, F, and G. They're by the book people, and we're not going to deviate from that and you don't dare mess them up. We can sometimes refer to them as OCD people. And that's okay. I have some of those in my family, and I've learned to love them. There are individuals I know sitting in this room that are just by the book people, do things by the book. The instruction manual says such and such, and so let's certainly follow the instruction manual, doing things by the book. Well, we've been given a book, an instruction manual for life, a guidebook to follow. And the Bible reveals to us who God is and who we are and who we can be. It declares to us all that God has done and all that God can do. It teaches us right from wrong, and it instructs us how to live. In fact, it says of itself, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God has given us several tools that are to help us to be successful in our relationship with him and in our ministry to others, among those his spirit, his presence, himself. But his word helps us to be successful in our relationship with him and with others, in our ministry to others. There's nothing really special in the leather or in the pages themselves. The power is in the words that they contain. It's the very word of God, the living and powerful word of God. These are God-breathed words. These aren't the random musings of ancient authors. They're not dead and dry fables whose only use is to entertain young children or perhaps communicate a good moral or two, but they are the anointed, the spirit-filled, and the power-infused words of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This is a spirit-inspired book that I hold. And his word is powerful. Psalm 33, verse 9, the psalmist says this, "For he spake, God, he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." He was speaking there of creation when God spoke the worlds into existence. He simply said, "Let there be light," and boom, there's the sun. He simply said, "Let there be waters," and divide the waters from the waters, and let there be land and dry ground, and there it was. Let there be trees, and let there be flowers, and let there be grass, and let there be animals, and let there be bugs. I'll never understand why he did that one, but he spoke it and it came to pass. He spake and it was done. His word is powerful. It is a creating power. His word is. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." His word is what we have in this book. And we can rely upon it. We can put our faith in it. Joshua 21:45 says, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Everything that God spoke to Israel, every promise that he gave them, came to pass because his word is powerful and his word is true. His word is reliable and dependable. It will accomplish what it is sent to accomplish. And so when it comes to the Bible, the word of God, I want to live by the book. And in this book, there are principles that we can and should live by. There's instructions about living, how we should act and how we should talk and how we should think. There are principles of holiness and stewardship and discipleship and faith and worship. And along with principles, in this book, there are also promises. So again, I say, when it comes to the Bible, I want to live by the book. I want to live it in principle and in promise. But I can't expect to enjoy the promises of his word without surrendering to the principles of his word. I'm not going to spend a long time on this because I felt like the Lord sent me to just speak a word to us here at APC, and that is that he wants to perform his promises. And so we're going to get to that, but I'm just going to spend a few moments on the principles of God's word tonight. To live by the book in principle simply means to obey the commandments, to submit to instruction, to uphold the doctrine, to do as was instructed through Jude in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We got to live by the book in principle. Because his word does, as I've said, gives us principles of holiness and stewardship and living, godly living. His word tells me how to talk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Living by the book in principle means that my words are building up and not tearing down. Living by the principle of his word, let no corrupt communication, he says in verse 25, he basically tells the church in Ephesus, don't lie. And so his word tells me how to talk, and so if I'm going to live by the book, I'm going to obey the principles of his word. His word also tells me how to filter my thoughts. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I'll probably get it out of order, but whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. His word, living by the book, gives us the principle of how to filter our thoughts. Run it through the filter of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If it makes it through all of those things listed there, then you're probably okay. Continue to think about it. Probably even should act on it. But if it gets hung up in one of those filters there, if it's not true, if it's not just, if it's not honest or lovely or of a good report, we can filter it. We can kick it out. That's living by the book and living by the principles of His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us how to measure ourselves. He said, don't measure yourselves among yourselves. He says, they are not wise. We can look around and we can look at the blessings in someone else's life or the opportunities that they may have in their life, and we can begin to measure ourselves against them. Well, I don't have that, so I must not be good enough. Or I do have this and they don't, so I must be better. When we measure ourselves among ourselves, we are unwise, the Bible says. And so living by the book in principle, He teaches us how to measure ourselves. He teaches us how to live. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on into verse 2 and he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Living by the book in principle, we understand that if I'm not being conformed to the image of Christ, then I am being transformed into something worldly, something not of God, something anti-biblical. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul there doesn't give the option of staying the same and staying where you are. It's either be conformed to this world or be transformed into the image of Christ. And so the principle that we can live by the book, he shows us how to live. He shows us how to surrender. In his word, he gives us these principles. You can show that first picture for me, Brother Eric. There's an exhibit in the People's Palace in Glasgow. And it tells the story of a World War II soldier. His name was James Riley, Private James Riley. He enlisted shortly after war was declared, and he was a gunner with the Cameronians or the Scottish Rifles. Private Riley, one day after a battle had taken place, he was walking through the battlefield collecting various things. The blue book that you see was a German drill book that he picked up. He kept it as a souvenir in his breast pocket, and together with his metal shaving mirror, also pictured to the far right there, he carried that in his breast pocket here, close to his heart. During one of the battles that he was engaged in, he was shot in the chest by a German soldier. The bullet passed through the drill book, but only dented the mirror, which resulted in only minorly wounding Private Riley. This drill book was more than just a cool icon for him to take home. These were drill instructions for a soldier. There were instructions in there on how to be a soldier and things that you could do in order to keep your skills up. There were instructions in there for the German soldiers, and he picked it up, and I think you could quite literally say that his life was saved by the book. And what could have killed him was unable to, because before it could hit his heart, it hit the drill book. David said it like this in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The sin and the evil that is around us and that is so natural to our flesh, if we'll live by the book, it will be a protection to us. It will guard us. It will keep us from the sin that could so easily beset us. It takes more than just, of course, hearing those things. James talks in his book about be not a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the word. Be a doer. Don't just come to you don't just come to the mirror in the morning. Hopefully you don't just come to the mirror in the morning and see that your hair is all different ways. You got something stuck in between your teeth. You got things like you're just crazy looking, and you just walk away and you don't care. You probably met some people like that. They go to Walmart a lot. But James is telling them, if you hear the word and you don't do the word, you're like someone who beholds their face in the glass and then they walk away and they forget whatever they look like. They don't take any measures to try to fix themselves up or to try to make themselves more presentable. But if we'll not only just hear the word of the Lord or just read the word of the Lord, but if we'll put it into action in our lives, as Psalm says, it's able to keep us from sinning against him. It's able to keep us from falling. So we talk about, we want a word from the Lord. And I just have a simple question before I move on. What are we doing with the word that he's already given us? Are we obeying and doing his word? Because as I stated a while ago, I can't expect to enjoy the promises of his word without surrendering to those principles of his word. But when I align my life with the principles of his word, when I live by the book in principle, I position myself to live the promises as well. When I align my life with everything that he has told me to do, with everything that he has instructed me to do, I put myself in a position to receive the blessing from the Lord. I put myself into a position to experience the power of his word as well. We see the importance of submission and obedience to God's word in a story in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's the story of Elijah. May be familiar to some of you, but it says this in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence." So go here. "Turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." There was a famine in the land. It was a judgment. But God told Elijah, he gave him some instructions. He gave him a word. He said, I'm going to command the ravens to feed thee there. Elijah had to be in the right spot to experience the miracle. Because God very explicitly told him, go, turn east, hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. That indicates to me, I didn't research it and find out, but it indicates to me that there may be a lot of different spaces along that brook that he could have hidden himself. But God was very specific with him. He said, get to the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, because it's there. I'm going to send the ravens there. And so if you're not there, that's where the ravens are going to be. That's where the miracles are going to be. If you're not there, and you can't experience the miracle. And so Elijah had to be in the right spot to experience the miracle. The story goes on. The birds showed up and he ate and he was fine. And then he went on. He says, God told him again, arise, go to Zarephath. This is verse 9. Which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Well, it's here that there was a widow woman. And as she was going to fetch him a little water to drink, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she says, I don't have a cake. I only have but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And I'm gathering two sticks, and I'm going to go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we're going to eat it and we'll die. Elijah said to her, just go and do as I've said. God had him in a specific place to experience a miracle. But then Elijah also had to be in the right spot to exercise a miracle through himself. Because as he was there and as he instructed this lady, she brought him a cake with the last little bit, what she thought was the last little bit of oil in her little vessel. But the Bible goes on to say that her oil of cruse, it failed not. In fact, she had to go gather from her neighbors because she just had so much spilling over. God did a miracle of provision through the prophet Elijah, but it all depended upon where Elijah was in response to the instruction of God. So Elijah had to be in the right spot. Both the miracle to him and the miracle through him was contingent on where he was. And his location was directed by the word of God. He didn't just get lucky that day. He was obedient. There was intention with what he did. And I would say this, God can only work through our obedience. If we'll be obedient to him, it may sound a little crazy, it may sound a little funny to us, but if we will step out in the faith that was preached about this morning and we will respond to God and we will do what he is telling us to do, there is a miracle and there is a promise waiting when we obey his word. If we will go and if we will do what he has asked of us to do, I repeat, he didn't just get lucky, he was obedient. Elijah's obedience to the word of God put him in a position to receive a miracle and to perform a miracle. And his word is filled with many other stories just like that one. Miracles, unexplainable things that God can do. And I'm here to declare to us tonight that everything that we read in God's word, we can experience. Everything that we read in his word, we can experience. The miracles can happen in us and through us. The promise in the book is this, John chapter 14, verse 12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. That's a promise, and I want to live by that promise. I want to live by the book and experience that promise. Greater works. God did some fantabulous things when he was on earth as Jesus. But here the words of Jesus are, greater works than these shall ye do. I want to experience that at APC. I want to experience that in America. I want to experience that before he comes back. It's a promise of his word, so I'm just going to hold him to his promise. I'm going to live by the book, and I'm going to see the promises of God fulfilled in my life, in my family, in this city. Put up that second picture for me, Brother Eric. That's Brother Kelly. This was last Sunday. We had a little lady come in. She was so cute. She had one crutch that you see him holding. She had that boot on her foot when she came in the door. She had real dark glasses in, and she came in real slow. I was sitting by the door there by Sister Kelly, and she walked in, and we kind of had to make room for her, but she didn't want to sit by us. We were kind of sitting over by the door. She wanted to sit where the action was happening. So she walked a little bit slow, but she walked all the way around, and she got to the middle section to where she was just, I'm pretty sure she felt she was just right in the line of fire. She came that morning. She was expecting something. She wanted something from God. So there was worship that was going on. We had a powerful service, great anointed worship and singing and just a freedom and a liberty that hadn't been there for a long time. And there was things that were happening in that service. We were praying for one another and praying for different parts of the world. And God was doing great things. And I didn't actually see this miracle happen. All that I saw, I looked up and Pastor Kelly's holding a crutch and a boot. And there's a lady down in the front just dancing all across the front of the building. And I thought, wait a second. That's the lady who came in with that boot on her foot and with that crutch and with those dark eyeglasses. She was dancing all across the front, and her daughter Pamela was right there. Our granddaughter Pamela was right there along with her. This is evidence right here that God's still in the miracle working business. He's still in the promise fulfilling business. Because I remember reading in his word where he went to a lame man and he said, take up your bed and walk. And here in this service, I don't know if you could quantify it as greater, but there was some great things happening in that service. And we were seeing miracles and signs and wonders because the book still works. And we can live by the book in principle, but in promise as well, his power can flow in and flow through our lives. We're seeing miracles take place. This is just one of them. There's countless miracles in this room alone, not to mention what God is doing literally around the world. The promise in the book says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That sounds like a promise to me. I want to experience that promise. There's some people here tonight, you've been sick or you've been dealing with some oppression. You've been dealing with some things for a really long time. I'm here to declare to you that he said, in my name they shall do these great and mighty things. Greater things than these shall you do. That was John 14:12. One verse later, he says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. That's a promise that we have. And if we'll live by the book in promise, we're going to see those things fulfilled. We can see the word of God come to pass right before our eyes. His promises haven't expired. They're not outdated. I read to you Mark 16:17-18. Then my name they shall. Verse 19 says, so then, after that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, the 11 whom he had been speaking to, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. If you will go, if you will live by the book, and if you will have the faith, again, that was preached about this morning, and when you pray, maybe you pray for somebody in Walmart, or maybe you pray with somebody at Starbucks, or maybe you pray with somebody in your little cubicle at work, or walking through an aisle of a grocery store. Maybe you exercise your faith at home, sitting on the couch or driving in your car. Maybe you exercise your faith here on the pews at APC or here in the aisles and in the altar. Wherever you exercise your faith, we have the promise that the Lord will work with us and he will confirm his word with signs following. I'm preaching right here that we need to have a little bit of faith in the promises that what God wants to do, he is well able to perform. He can and he wants to and he will confirm his word. His promises are still good today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's an old song, we don't sing it much. In fact, I didn't even know it until Sister Reaver assigned it to me in a piano lesson one day. And she had to sing it to me a couple times for me to even know what it was. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise. In the book. I want to live by the book. I want to see the promises of God fulfilled. I want to see the promises of God in my life. I want to see the promises of God in your life, in an APC. I want to see the promises of God that every seat in the building is filled. I want to see the promises of God that He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. I want to see the promises of healing that He has, because He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I want to see the promises of His presence, where He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I want to see the promises of provision, where He said, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. I want to see the promises fulfilled. I want to live by the book. I want to see them. I want to experience them. Promises. The book is filled with them. In fact, you can even buy promise Bibles. These are really awesome. I got this from my Aunt Angie when I graduated high school too many years ago. And there's just promises. Promises about guidance and about hope and about faith and about success and about peace and all kinds of things. If you don't know where to look for promises in this book, get you one of these. This one's full of them, and it's just full of scriptures. It's nothing else. It's just full of scriptures. Get yourself a promise Bible and begin to read over those things. Begin to pray those things over your family and over your life and over this church and over this city, and live by the book. We're going to see these promises fulfilled. His promise to us, also in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For here's the promise, Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The other promise, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We have the promise of His Spirit. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter. And then He names that comforter, the comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. There was a promise. The Father will send the comforter in my name. And then we know in Acts chapter 2, that promise was fulfilled as they were gathered together in one accord, in one place. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he recognized what was going on. He recognized the confusion, heard the questions that the crowd was asking. And so he explained to them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. If you didn't catch it, here comes a promise. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. We have the promise of His Spirit in these days that we're living in. But He didn't stop there. After He got done preaching, there was some questions that they had, and so He continued on. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Here's the promise. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, the promise is unto you, your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Say, that's me. The promise, experiencing the promise, is for every single individual. If you'll notice in that verse, in verse 38, there were some principles or some instructions that were given as well. So we live by the book, both in principle. But when we're obedient to the principles, when we're obedient to the instructions, we align ourselves to experience the promise of God. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've never received the promise that was promised in verse 38, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is for you. It is still for today. It still is being poured out. And ultimately, we have a promise of eternal life, and I certainly want to live by the book and see that promise fulfilled, to be caught away, as the Bible says, to meet him in the air, and so I will ever be with him. I want to experience that promise. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, I'll end with this story from the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And so he sat down and he taught the people from the ship. Now when he had left speaking, or when he was done, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch." Now, in this story, Peter, the ships, they were washing their nets. They were done. They had come in from fishing. They had already tried what he had just told them to do. Says, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night long, and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." "Master, we just came in from a hard day's work. We've already tried that. We already did that once. And you can see we don't have much to show for it." But you can almost sense the sigh that Peter gives to him. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." "Nevertheless, I will try again. Nevertheless, I will trust your word again." Peter said more in those four words, "Nevertheless, at thy word," than could be said or repeated or even explained. Because with that, he was choosing to trust the word of God over what he saw around him. There was a promise. It was unspoken. Jesus did not tell him, "You're going to have more fish than you could ever imagine. You're never going to need to fish again. You're going to live well." It was an unspoken promise. There was something perhaps that he understood, that he was talking to the God who has creative word. And so he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. So they had to beckon their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. There are promises in this word that you've believed before, that you've prayed about before, that you trusted God for at one point, but perhaps life and doubt has crept in and has disabled faith in the promise. But I'm here to tell you, you can live by the book and you can receive the promise. I invite you to stand tonight, and these altars are open. I invite you to trust God's word one more time. Maybe you say, well, I've prayed about it before, or I've worshiped in advance before, or I've claimed a promise before, but I invite you to come one more time and just say, nevertheless, God, at your word, I'm going to believe that every promise in the book is mine. I'm going to believe that every promise that you've spoken is true. I'm going to believe that you are able to perform every single promise that you have given to me, whether he has spoken it to you privately, or whether it's just a promise of scripture that you're holding on to. I invite you to come and make your faith solid tonight. Make it strong in the Lord. He's gonna do it. He can do it. He wants to do it. Resecure your faith in him right now. Nevertheless, I will trust you. I've tried before and I've not seen it happen yet, but nevertheless, I will trust you. Nevertheless, I will obey your word. I will go and I will do what you've asked of me to do. Hallelujah. He that promised is faithful to perform. He will, he will, he will. His word does not return void. It will accomplish that which he has sent it to accomplish. Pray the word. Pray the promises of God right now and live by the book and see those promises fulfilled in your life, in your family, in your home, in your city. Let those promises be fulfilled.